need to be done in them so that they can be addressed. And they arose, again, out of discussions that we've had with the courts, and we've come up with a problem and one or two different ways to go, and we'd like the committee's guidance to go before drafting amendments. So in the context of this presentation, if I could just identify those and then also list them with the summary that you just asked for. How much time do you need before the work session in order to be able to consider that?
Well, perhaps the way we should view Friday then is a continued hearing rather than a work session. And would that be enough time for you to...
I know we listed as a possible work session, because if she brings us two different issues, then we can decide which one she should draft for us.
Yeah. Okay. I agree. I think we'll list it as public hearing and possible work session.
Let me ask one more question on the garnishing of wages. That bothers people for good reason. Does the Department of Revenue charge the agency when they turn an account over to the Department of Revenue?
Representative Bellamy, the other agency program is self-supporting, so the cost of administering the program is in turn charged back to the participating agencies. And it may be beneficial at this time, if I may, to give you a little bit of the scope or the size of what the program is.
Let me just, before you do that, before I lose this point, would the practical aspect be that we would not really be encouraging the state agencies to use this procedure? Because in essence, they should be trying to collect the money themselves, because even though they go through your department, they're going to actually get back less money?
I don't believe that's the actual case. Most of the agencies, other than the Employment Division, PUC, and the Department of Revenue, are the only ones that I would consider really have a professional collection staff. The others, such as the schools, the Health Science Center, do go through a billing cycle, and they do some initial collection work. But they aren't geared up to file legal action, to forward accounts to the Attorney General's office if necessary, or actually take any type of long-term payment arrangement. And I think most of the state agencies are now using the other agency account program.
Mr. Chair, maybe I could...
Between
the two of you, if you could draft an amendment that I would feel more comfortable with, I think that we ought to probably require the state agencies, before they actually go to the Department of Revenue and ask for this new provision, that the person be told of this. Let me give you an example. You've got the university. The university says, we've written you about 100 letters and you haven't given us any money. I think that it would be nice if they sent one more letter saying that we haven't received payment. We're going to turn this over to the Department of Revenue, which in turn will seek a warrant which will allow them to look at garnishee of wages. Because what you're telling me is that most state agencies don't have much of a collection service, so that it generally goes to your program. If we're giving you new authority, maybe we ought to require a simple letter to be sent. Kind of, maybe when you draft those amendments, it won't be very simple, and I don't like them, but I'd like to look at what they look like.
I'll be happy to do that.
Are there further questions? Did you have any more comments?
I had three policy problems I just wanted to identify.
Sure. Okay.
The first one is, in the discussions that we've had with court staff, the question has come up about who should be issuing process on state agency warrants and orders. In other words, should the courts continue to be issuing writs of garnishment or writs of execution on the basis of warrants or orders that are not contained in their own court records? There are a couple of different choices that can be made on that question. One is, yes, the court should be doing it, and they should be able to rely on a certified copy of the record by the county clerk. Another option is to give that responsibility to the county clerk. Another option is to have the agency somehow handle that. We don't have a recommendation, but it is something that does need to be cleared up, and if in the work session on Friday, we get a sense of the committee meeting. Another problem that is, at least in the perception of the courts, is what about all of these orders and warrants that are still out there in the dockets that are pre-1983? Are they going to sit there forever? Is there going to be some ultimate repose for them? Should they be transferred automatically into the county clerk lien record? What should happen to them? We've been talking about different things. A lot of them have a fiscal impact on either the courts or the clerks or the agencies, and we've been trying to come up with some kind of a solution to that problem, but it would be nice to know if the committee has a preference as to whether those should continue in the judgment docket or there should be some operation of law that transfers them to the county clerk lien record. And finally, in the collection of debts on these warrants and orders, there are sometimes questions that arise about whether the funds that are being attached to satisfy the debt are exempt, or the property is exempt. There's a homestead exemption on residential property. Certain sources of income are exempt from attachment. Who makes that determination? Right now, under the other agency program, an agency can't refer a debt to the Department of Revenue unless it's liquidated. So at least the liability of the individual has been determined, and the amount of money that's due has been determined, and they've had an appeal right concerning that. But if in the collection process and there's an error and maybe the wrong person's name winds up on the warrant, or they've made some payment and the word hasn't gotten to whoever's doing the collecting, or exempt income or something, should there be a court proceeding to determine that, or should the agency handle it? Through some kind of hearing process. These are things that we haven't addressed in the bill that appear to be major enough questions that we wanted to raise.
I think in the workers' comp statute, for example, I don't think he could attach for child support. Somebody on temporary disability. And would this bill affect that law or not?
No, it doesn't affect that statute, but the policy problem that arises is if inadvertently or unknowingly an agency that's collecting attempts to take that kind of income, the individual should have a place to go either to the agency and say, hold it, have a hearing to determine whether this is properly subject to attachment or not, or to go to court and say, court, protect me from the agency. And we just didn't have a way to go on that. We really thought it ought to be something that maybe we could get some direction from the committee and then respond to that draft. Remember, somebody has to do it.
Right.
And there has to be a procedure. And there's nothing in the bill right now that addresses that problem, so we definitely need to have something address the problem.
Okay.
And I'll put those three things in my list for you.
Wonderful. Appreciate that. Are there questions? Comments? Thank you. Did you have anything else? No. Thank you very much. It's been a long afternoon. I appreciate you staying with us. We are adjourned and I'll ask you if on Friday.